Imagine you sell a $100 like beautifully hand-knit sweater to a customer in Paris.
Right.
They've paid for the item, you've shipped it out of Canada, you sent them the tracking number, and everything seems absolutely perfect until, about a week later, you get a really angry email.
Oh, the dreaded email.
Exactly. Because the delivery driver is standing at your customer's front door, essentially holding that sweater hostage. They're demanding an unexpected 20% tax payment on the spot before they will hand over the box.
Yeah, it's a nightmare scenario for any
It
business.
really is. And today, we're going to look at exactly how to prevent it. Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're looking at a comprehensive source document, simply titled Shipping from Canada to France. Docs.
Which I know might sound like a highly specific niche logistics manual, but it's actually a foundational blueprint for global trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because France is not just a single destination country, right? It operates as this massive commercial gateway into the entire European Union market.
So it's much bigger than just France.
Exactly. The rules, the systems, and the traps that exist when moving a package from Toronto to Paris, well, those are the exact same mechanics you need to master to unlock one of the largest, wealthiest consumer markets on the planet.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because we want to extract the absolute most important insights from this material so you can avoid the kind of information overload that usually comes with international shipping.
Which is very real.
Oh, it's so real. Whether you are a business trying to scale or just trying to get a handle on global supply chains, we really need to start with the physical reality of moving a box across an ocean. The where and the when.
Right. The physical journey is the foundation. If you look at the time frames broken down in our source, they operate on very distinct tiers based on the actual mechanics of the transport.
Right.
So at the top end, you have express courier services, which move a package internationally in like 3 to 5 business days.
That's pretty fast.
It is. Then standard air shipping, which takes about 4 to 7 business days.
And then there's a massive drop-off, right? When we look at the cheaper tiers, the source notes economy or deferred shipping stretches to 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, it slows way down.
And surface shipping, meaning ocean freight, can take several weeks or even months. What exactly is happening in those economy tiers that suddenly adds weeks to the timeline?
Well, it comes down to freight consolidation. When you pay for standard or express air, your package is put on a direct flight itinerary.
Okay.
But economy tiers are cheaper specifically because the logistics companies hold your package at a warehouse.
Just sitting there.
Yeah, just sitting there until they have enough volume to completely fill a shipping container or a designated cargo hold. You aren't just paying for transit, you're paying with your time while the logistics company maximizes their margins by consolidating, thousands of shipments.
Standard air is like a reliable commercial flight, but economy surface shipping is like taking a cross-country train. Great if you have the time, but terrible if you're in a rush.
That's a great way to put it. Precisely. And it's interesting to look at where those specific buses or trains are actually going. The physical movement of goods maps onto these massive dedicated trade corridors.
Right, the specific routes.
Yeah, our source highlights several distinct city-to-city hubs that handle this volume. Toronto to Paris is the most obvious, as they are both major high-volume logistics gateways.
But the source also specifically calls out Montreal to Lyon. And rather than just being a generic flight path, the text notes this route is driven by incredibly strong cultural and commercial ties.
It is.
It's essentially a dedicated cultural supply chain.
Yeah, it really is. And as you move further west in Canada, the infrastructure shifts based on the types of products. Vancouver to Marseille is a massive corridor specifically for commercial products and retail inventory moving by ocean.
Well, okay.
Then Calgary to Toulouse sees a heavy volume of industrial goods and specialized manufacturing shipments. Ottawa to Nice is heavily utilized for consumer goods and e-commerce. And even Edmonton to Bordeaux has a dedicated pipeline relying on modern freight solutions.
What's fascinating here is that the speed of your shipment, even if you pay top dollar for that 3-day express plane, is really only one variable in the equation.
Absolutely.
Our source is very clear that physical transit is entirely secondary to a whole host of non-transportation factors.
Yeah, the physical vehicle is rarely the bottleneck. Delivery times are massively impacted by the realities on the ground, like peak seasons literally clog the physical sorting facilities with volume.
Right, holiday rushes and things like that.
Exactly. And delivering to a rural farmhouse outside of Bordeaux inherently takes longer than a high-rise in central Paris. But the absolute biggest hurdle, the mechanism that stops more shipments in their tracks than anything else combined, is customs clearance.
Ah, the famous French douane. And the way the source explains it, if you don't navigate this bureaucratic border perfectly, your timeline completely collapses. It moves from physical transit to data transit.
That is the perfect way to look at it. The Customs Authority is a massive data processing machine. They need to verify exactly what is entering their sovereign territory, if it's safe, and what it owes the government.
Right.
And they do that exclusively through your documentation.
So let's walk through that documentation because the source is incredibly specific here. You need a commercial invoice, known as a facture commerciale.
Yes.
You need a packing list, a shipping label, a tracking number, the numero de suivi and customs declaration forms.
All of the above, yeah.
But wait, if I'm just sending a box of old camera gear or cables, I usually just scribble electronics on the basic form at the local post office and it gets there fine. Why wouldn't that fly in this commercial context? Are they physically opening every single box at the border?
No, they absolutely are not opening every box. They do not have the manpower for that. And that is exactly why scribbling electronics will get your package immediately flagged and held.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You have to think of customs clearance like a high-speed automated toll booth. When you write a vague description, it is like pulling up to an electronic toll booth without an E-ZPass transponder.
Oh, I see.
The automated system cannot read your vehicle, so you get pulled over, the engine gets shut off, and a human agent has to manually investigate.
Because electronics is meaningless to a safety inspector.
Exactly. A customs agent looking at the word electronics does not know if that box contains a harmless plastic digital clock or a piece of telecommunications equipment that requires a specialized import license, or, most critically, a highly regulated lithium-ion battery.
Which brings up the distinction the source makes between prohibited and restricted items. We don't need to spend much time on prohibited items. Obviously, you cannot ship explosives, illegal drugs, weapons, or counterfeit goods.
Right, those are a hard no.
But restricted items are a completely different animal. You can ship them, but the bureaucratic hoops are intense.
Right. And lithium batteries are the perfect example. They are restricted because they pose a documented fire hazard at high altitudes on commercial aircraft.
Now that makes sense.
So you can ship them, but they require specific UN-certified hazard labeling on the outside of the box so the airline's fire suppression protocols can be managed correctly.
Wow.
The same applies to things like cosmetics or skincare. You can't just ship chemicals into the EU. They require specific documentation proving they meet the strict safety standards of the French equivalent of the FDA.
So how do you actually translate the specific contents of your box into a language that the automated toll booth can instantly understand?
Through the HS code, the Harmonized System Code, or code SH in French.
Okay.
This was a system created by the World Customs Organization specifically to solve the problem of linguistic ambiguity. It is a universal language of numbers, 6 to 10 digits, that perfectly describe the item.
So a Canadian shipper and a French customs agent don't have to argue over the translation of a specific type of cotton shirt.
Exactly. The HS code is the transponder for the toll booth. If you have the exact correct code, the automated system reads it, understands exactly what the product is, verifies there are no safety restrictions, and clears it to keep moving.
That's brilliant.
But more importantly, that universally recognized number is the exact mechanism the computer uses to calculate the taxes.
So if the HS code determines exactly what category this item is in, the customs computer uses that exact code to spit out a tax bill. Let's look at how that bill is actually calculated, because the financial mechanics in this document are eye-opening.
Oh, they really are.
Before we even get to the taxes, the underlying shipping cost itself has a massive catch, right? Volumetric weight.
Yeah, volumetric weight. Most people assume shipping costs are based purely on how heavy the box is. Like a 10-pound box costs more than a 2-pound box.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
But logistics companies are operating with limited physical space inside an aircraft cargo hold.
So if I ship a giant box filled with a single feather, it weighs almost nothing, but it takes up a massive footprint on the plane. The airline cannot fill that physical space with other paying cargo.
Precisely. You are essentially paying for the oxygen inside the box. So the airlines created a mathematical mechanism called volumetric weight or dimensional weight.
How does that work?
They multiply the length, width, and height of your box and then divide that by a specific dimensional factor. It's usually around 5,000 for standard international shipments.
Okay.
The carrier then compares the physical weight of your box against this calculated volumetric weight, and they charge you for whichever number is higher.
That is a brutal hidden cost if you aren't optimizing your packaging.
It really can be.
Okay, so we figure out the actual bill of weight, we pay the carrier for the transit, now we hit the border, and the HS code triggers the French TVA, the value-added tax.
Yes, the TVA.
Our source notes that shipments entering France are subject to a standard TVA rate of around 20%. But here is the critical mechanism. The 20% is not just calculated on the value of the goods inside the box.
No, it is calculated on the total landed cost. This trips up so many businesses.
I can imagine.
The French Customs Authority looks at the value of the product, plus the cost of the insurance, plus the exact cost of the shipping you just paid the carrier.
Wait, they tax the shipping cost too?
They do. They add all of that together and then apply the 20% tax to the total sum.
Which perfectly explains why understanding who pays that final bill is so critical. This is where the source dives into Incoterms.
Yes, crucial point.
Just to clarify for anyone unfamiliar, Incoterms stands for International Commercial Terms. They are a set of standardized rules published by the International Chamber of Commerce to unify global trade contracts. And the two that matter most here are DDP and DAP.
Right. Delivered duty paid and delivered at place.
Here's where it gets really interesting, and where we return to that nightmare scenario I mentioned at the very beginning of this deep dive.
The sweater hostage situation.
Exactly. If you're an e-commerce seller, you might be tempted to use DAP to save upfront costs. In a DAP scenario delivered at place, the sender only pays for the transportation. You pay the carrier to move the box.
Yep.
But when the box hits the border and that 20% TVA on the total landed cost is triggered, the carrier pays it to the government on your behalf and then literally demands reimbursement from the person receiving the package.
Which is why the delivery driver is holding the sweater hostage.
Exactly. Yeah. It makes your margins look incredible on a spreadsheet. But imagine the customer's face when the delivery driver holds their package hostage for a 20% tax bill. You are destroying your customer experience by hitting them with a surprise bill.
This raises an important question about the holistic strategy of shipping. The alternative, DDP delivered duty paid, means the sender takes on the responsibility for everything up front. And to do that effectively, a business has to bake that 20% cost directly into their checkout process. The customer pays a slightly higher upfront price, but the product simply arrives at their door completely frictionless.
That sounds vastly superior.
It is. Finding the cheapest shipping isn't about just picking the lowest rate. It is about optimizing your packaging to reduce volumetric weight, choosing the right service level for the actual urgency, and utilizing DDP so your customer stays happy.
But listen, we've just established a massive amount of required friction.
Oh, yeah.
You have to calculate volumetric math, cross-reference World Customs Organization HS codes, fill out factures commercials with total landed cost values, and execute DDP workflows so the tax is right back to you instead of the French consumer. How on earth can any small or medium-sized operation manage this level of complex data engineering without an entire department of logistics experts?
Well, if you try to do it manually, you simply can't. Logging into individual carrier portals, updating tracking numbers on chaotic spreadsheets, manually looking up tariff codes, it is a complete operational bottleneck.
It sounds impossible.
It is, and that is exactly why the source document spends so much time highlighting multi-carrier automation platforms.
The document mentions platforms like FreightCom as the solution.
Right.
And it seems the primary mechanism here isn't just about getting better rates, though, you know, that is a part of it. It is about fundamentally changing the workflow through API integration.
Exactly. Instead of negotiating a standalone contract with a single provider and just hoping their daily rate is competitive, these software platforms use API connections.
Right.
They instantly pull live, pre-negotiated, deeply discounted rates across a dozen different global carriers simultaneously. You plug in the dimensions and the destination once, and the software aggregates the entire market.
That's incredibly powerful. But the real magic seems to be on the documentation side.
It is. Because these platforms are built for global trade, they automatically format the commercial invoices. They enforce the inclusion of the code SH before you can even print the label.
But you literally can't mess it up.
Right. They allow you to instantly toggle a shipment to DDP, handling the complex billing routing on the back end. So the seller is billed for the taxes, not the buyer. They automate the compliance.
And then there is the centralized tracking. If you are a business using three different carriers for different regions, like maybe an ocean freight line for the heavy industrial goods heading to Toulouse, and a fast air courier for the e-commerce goods heading to Deech, you normally have to check a dozen different websites.
Which is a nightmare.
Yeah. But with an automated platform, all those numerous SWV feedback into one single dashboard.
You have complete visibility. You see the physical pickup, the departure, the critical customs clearance status, and the final delivery, regardless of which carrier is actually moving the physical box.
And our source proves that mastering the system has implications far beyond France. The document explicitly points out that if you are shipping commercial or e-commerce goods from Canada to the UK, it is the exact same playbook.
The structural mechanics of international taxation and classification are universally applied because they were built by global bodies.
Right, the World Customs Organization.
Exactly. The UK has its own specific import regulations and a different VAT percentage, of course. But the mechanism, the commercial invoices, the volumetric weight math, the HS classification, the choice between express versus standard, DDP and DAP, and the reliance on multi-carrier automation is completely identical. Mastering the French gateway means you are essentially mastering the global standard.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? If you were looking at a stack of boxes waiting to go out to Paris or London or Lyon, what is the ultimate takeaway?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it means that managing logistics manually is an artificial ceiling on your potential. If you spend 20 minutes handwriting a customs form, manually researching a tariff code, and guessing at the volumetric weight penalty, your operation cannot scale.
It's just too slow.
Way too slow. Centralizing that workflow, letting software handle the rate comparisons, the compliance documentation, and the tracking removes the friction from global trade. It turns a massive, intimidating global supply chain into a single, scalable process.
It takes the opaque complexity of international freight and gives you the remote control.
I like that.
We have covered a truly massive amount of ground today. We started by mapping out the physical journey, understanding how freight consolidation makes economy shipping take weeks, and how dedicated routes create cultural supply chains between cities like Montreal and Lyon.
Yeah, and then we examined the toll booth of the French douane and why the universally recognized HS code acts as your transponder to bypass those manual inspections.
We looked at the hidden math of logistics, how airlines charge you for volumetric space, not just physical weight, and how the 20% TVA is aggressively calculated on your total landed cost.
Don't forget Incoterms.
Right. We defined Incoterms and explored why choosing DDP over DAP is the ultimate strategy for protecting your customer's experience. And finally, we saw how multi-carrier software platforms handle all of this complex API data instantly, completely removing the manual bottleneck.
Understanding these underlying mechanisms is really the only way to transform a stressful, unpredictable shipping process into a reliable, automated engine for growth.
Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Our source text heavily emphasized that mastering these logistics turns France into a gateway, and that cross-border trade is becoming increasingly systematized.
Very much so.
We've talked about how software can now instantly calculate complex landed costs, automatically generate perfect customs paperwork, and route packages through the most efficient carriers with a single click. If all of that bureaucratic friction is being erased by code, are we rapidly approaching an era where the concept of international borders effectively disappears for small businesses?
That's a fascinating way to think about it.
When shipping a product to Bordeaux becomes exactly as frictionless, predictable, and automated as shipping it down the street to your neighbor, doesn't every local creator instantly become a formidable global competitor?
It completely dismantles the traditional advantages of massive multinational corporations.
It really levels the playing field. Next time you drop a package in the mail or hit that confirm shipment button online, remember the massive, beautiful orchestration of data, mathematics, and global cooperation happening just beneath the surface to make that delivery possible. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.